He is a system security engineer at Paragon Technology Group. He finds combating cyber threats rewarding because it helps protect information from those who intend to exploit the information in a harmful manner. The most interesting task he has worked on were those that required resolution of a non-routine security problem. One of the biggest challenges security engineering faces is how to interpret and apply pre-existing security regulations to rapidly changing technology and cyber threats. Crafting unique solutions to mitigate these threats is rewarding. Please welcome Mark to the Cloud Developer Summit and Expo. Thank
you. I'd like to thank everybody for coming. What I'm going to talk about is the Federal Risk and Authorization Management Program. FedRAMP is a program that the government designed to facilitate government agencies' use of cloud services. So what's it stand for? You can see what it stands for. You can see that it's a government-wide program that provides a standardized approach to the authorization of cloud services. Now, there's more to it than that. It's not just a standardized approach to authorization. It's a standardized approach to assessing them and then implementing the continuous monitoring of them. And that'll become clear why that was needed here pretty quick. So why is FedRAMP needed? To eliminate duplicative, inconsistent, costly, and inefficient processes. Historically, in the government, and I mostly work Department of Defense systems, no customer would recognize authorizations of computing services or computing vendors or authorizations of vendors or systems. So if a service provider, whether it was a hardware-based or lately virtualized or cloud-based, was authorized to provide service for a government entity, another government entity, they might try to seek business with another government entity, and that a government entity would say, nope, we have to accredit you also. So that causes a delay in getting business, and it causes cost for that other entity, and ultimately it puts cost on the American taxpayer, and that's not what they want to do. So FedRAMP focuses not on the bureaucratic reaccomplishing of compliance between government entities that don't honor each other's inspection processes, and focuses on initial compliance, a very thorough and detailed initial compliance assessment, which you'll see here shortly, and then reciprocity throughout government agencies. Now, my background is mostly Department of Defense, and even within the Department of Defense, you would have defense agencies that wouldn't honor each other's accreditations. So if you were providing service, for an example, if you were providing service to the Navy, and the Navy accredited your system and blessed it and used the exact same inspection standards and accreditation standards as everybody else in the Department of Defense used, but then you went to try and sell that same service to the Army would go, nah, we have to accredit you. Sorry, we can't accept the Navy's accreditation of your system. And they would go ahead and accredit your system using the exact same standards. So the DOD CIO said, we got to quit doing this. And then, of course, the federal CIO said, we got to quit doing this also. So not only are we going to recognize accreditations and authorizations and security standards within the Department of X, we're going to do it for hopefully all departments, agriculture, treasury, homeland security, defense. So not focusing on the compliance, just meeting the regulations, but doing that once and then really focusing on real-time persistent threats, focusing on what the enemy is trying to do to us. Okay, the goals of FedRAMP are to reuse assessments and authorizations. So if you get accredited by Treasury, Agriculture will take it. If you get accredited by Defense, Justice will take it, so forth and so on. A standardized security of cloud solutions. What they're using is the NIST, the National Institute of Standards and Technology. Special Publication 853, which is the security set of one of the security publications that lists all the different information assurance controls that are required by the federal government, not just by defense, not just by Treasury, not just by the Interior or agriculture, but the set of controls that most of these organizations derive their unique set of IA controls from. And then consistent security authorizations. What this means is every authorization is the same. Instead of some unique set of security standards that the Navy wants, another one that the Air Force wants, another one that Department of Treasury wants, so forth and so on. One consistent set. They're striving for efficiency. Okay, now let's talk about, now that you got a little background on it, let's talk about the actual process. Now this is just me, Mark Clark, advising, talking to you. The first thing I would suggest is that you review the guides that FedRAMP puts out. They put out a guide to understanding FedRAMP, which is a must read, because you really need to understand it, because they're going to evaluate your understanding of the process when you first start to apply. To get a quick understanding, they have a quick guide, which I'm actually going to go through with you, to give you kind of an understanding of what the process entails and what level of effort is going to be required by your organization. After you do that, you need to review the baseline security requirements, and then you need to assess your own current security posture, because that gives you a real idea of how much work you need to go through to get your system up to the federal standards. So there's a couple ways to do it. The two most widely used ways are to directly apply by going to the FedRAMP website, which we're going to go to and I'm going to make you familiar with, or work with a sponsoring agency. So if, for example, you're providing some sort of computing service or development service for an agency, and you are a cloud service provider, and you offer them cloud service to help them save money, you can work with them, and they will help you go through the FedRAMP process to get accredited. And we'll talk more about that. They will be your sponsor initially, and you'll go through the FedRAMP process. So, after you directly apply or work with a sponsoring agency, you need to implement the baseline security controls. So, all those controls that you have become familiar with, you need to implement them into your system, train your people, implement those processes, and implement any infrastructure requirements that are needed, because this entails not just the logical security aspects of your system, but also physical and environmental security aspects. Then you have to hire an accredited 3PAO to perform an assessment. The federal government requires that cloud service providers bring in an independent auditor. They call them third-party assessing offices. That's what we are. We are a 3PAO. So you hire a 3PAO, they come in and do an independent audit. That 3PAO has to be independent. They cannot have consulted with you or helped you in any way. Just like the Security and Exchange Commission requires publicly traded companies to hire an independent public accounting firm to come in and do their annual audit so they can file, do their annual filing, the government requires this also. So if a security organization who happens to be qualified as a third-party assessor is already working with you to provide security consulting, they cannot come in and assess you to provide the report to the FedRAMP office. After the third-party assessor comes in to assess you, you got to create and submit an authorization package, and then that'll be reviewed, and we'll talk through that process. And then you have to provide continuous monitoring reports and updates to FedRAMP. That entails probably monthly vulnerability scanning, occasional penetration testing, and responding to to vulnerability alerts that the federal government gets. So FedRAMP, they know that the process is onerous. They know that it takes a while, but they are actually pretty good to work with. We went there to a training meeting, and they talked about what services they offer and how they try and help cloud service providers get accredited. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take you to their website, and I'm going to show you what it looks like. Okay, so that's the FedRAMP website, and you can see that it's not just designed specifically for cloud service providers. It's there to provide information for government agencies who want to contract with a cloud service provider, and then it's also there for security companies that want to become third-party assessors. So you got three different tabs for different agencies that want to learn about this stuff. So we're gonna hit the one that says cloud service provider become compliant. So this is the link you would hit, and this is the information that they have for you. And you can see I took some of my information directly off their website. You can see it says directly apply or work with the sponsoring agency, implement the security controls, get a 3PAO, submit the package. I just submitted one line between the first and second line, which is submit your system documentation, because that's a very, very critical step, as you'll see when I take you through their process, that I think they should have put in there. So that's kind of the overall view of how the process works, but that's a very simple view, because there's really kind of two distinct processes. Before you even hire a 3PAO, you have to go through a meeting with them and get evaluated. So in my earlier slides, I said you have to learn about FedRAMP, and you do that by going and looking at some of their key documents. And the first one I would recommend is this quick guide to understanding FedRAMP, that one right there. And that's what we're going to go through real quick. But then you absolutely are going to have to read this, because as you see, you're going to go there and you're going to have an interview with them, and they are going to assess whether you're ready to start the process. So I'm going to open this for you and show you the familiarization process. So this is the quick guide, and this tells you what you have to do. So to be eligible, you have to have an understanding, you gotta be committing the resources and have the ability to put those security controls in place. And here, this last one, meet FedRAMP requirements for level of detail in documenting the security control implementation. And you're gonna see that they are very concerned, and they are very strict about the level of detail, because they're not coming to inspect your system. They're hiring somebody else to inspect your system. They're hiring somebody like us, or actually you're hiring somebody like us to come inspect your system. So the only thing they see in regards to your system is the documentation. So the documentation has to be so detailed that they have a good, clear understanding of what the system is. And then our report, the third-party assessor's office report, has to be so detailed that they clearly understand that the security controls have been implemented and that it is clear enough for all the federal agencies to understand and accept without balking. Because even though this is what the government considers the one-stop shopping for getting your system accredited, and being able to go out and seek business with any federal entity, I will tell you that the process is still new, and different federal entities still don't work as well together as we would all like. So they require a tremendous level of detail and tremendous due diligence to make this acceptance across the federal board as seamless as possible. So, the next little bit says the CSP provides the information about the system, and then there's a FedRAMP readiness and development team that assesses your readiness to enter the program, and then they make a recommendation. So there's a good diagram right after this. So after you apply, they interview you. They talk to you, and they decide if they think that you have the resources and you're ready to embark on this process. Then they're going to review the system documentation, and then there's going to be a kickoff decision. That's the high-level view of this. The detail is that when you first apply, they'll schedule an interview. They'll sit down, they'll talk to you, they'll ask you a bunch of detailed questions to determine if you're ready to start this process. Then what they'll do is they will invite you to documentation training. That may sound a little weird, but the level of detail that they require in the documentation that they want from you initially before you even start the inspection process is voluminous. It's huge. So you get to go through some documentation training, and what they do is they explain the level of detail that they're looking for, and that way you don't submit the documentation, they kick it back, you submit it again, they kick it back. After several iterations over the past year, they found that they really need to educate the CSPs on the level of detail of the documentation that needs to be submitted, and that's the system documentation. Then they're going to give you some feedback, and then if at that point they think you're prepared to do it, they will actually tell you to send the documents in. So, what are the documents? The system security plan, the configuration management plan, the contingency plan, the incident response plan, and any other policies that your particular system security plan requires. So, the contingency plan, the configuration management plan, those are things that you probably already have in your organization. You probably are familiar with system security plans also. The FedRAMP system security plan template is 416 pages long. It's pretty intimidating. The reason it's that long is because they had to include a set of NIST controls that will satisfy defense, treasury, homeland security, and other federal agencies. So it's very detailed. It's very detailed. And it's very all-encompassing. It encompasses everything from the cryptography modules that you're using in your OS and database to guards on the gate, environmental controls from A to Z. So then they'll do the review. After they do the review, they'll tell you if they want something explained more. They'll send the documents back. There'll be questions, and that may go on a couple times. And then after that, the information system security officer, which is a government rep, which will be working with your process, will brief the FedRAMP board on the status. Once the documentation once the documentation's been reviewed and they find the documentation to be adequate, then they'll decide to have a kickoff meeting. They'll set the kickoff meeting up, and at the kickoff meeting, that's when you actually go there, which will be for the second time, and you actually brief your system. And so they're gonna read all the documentation, have an understanding of what your system does and the security controls, how you're implementing the security controls, then they're gonna want you to brief them on it. So that is the initial phase of this process. Once you guys have the kickoff meeting and brief them on your system and they think you're ready, then they're gonna tell you to go ahead and hire a 3PAO and start the process of getting yourselves accredited. So one thing I didn't show you on the website, there's the online initiation request. And there's not much to that. It's just an online place where you go and initiate your request. The website's pretty simple to follow. So this is how you initiate your request to get this whole thing kicked off. Not super complicated. What you're going to find where you have to dedicate a lot of labor hours is the documentation and obviously implementing the security into the system, and then going and meeting with the FedRAMP board and going through the process. Hold on. Okay, so now that we've talked about the initial review process where they now feel you're ready to start the assessment process in order to get accredited, I'm going to give you an overview of the assessment. So when you hire a 3PAO to come in and do your assessment, we're going to come in and we're going to do the same thing that FedRAMP did. The first thing we're going to do is look at your documentation, and then we're going to look at the physical security, the logical security, the processes, and also your people. I should have put people on there, but processes is part of people. But your people, we look at the processes that you use, but also the people, their level of training, and we have to evaluate them doing their security responsibilities. So, documentation. Obviously, we're going to look at the system security plan. We're going to look at the contingency plan. We're going to look at the incident response plan, the configuration management plan. We're going to look at all those same plans. And it's not just for the level of detail, but when we do the inspection, we're going to inspect your system. And the expectation is that the system is actually configured exactly the way the SSP says it's configured. And then we're going to watch you do a contingency plan exercise. And the expectation is that the contingency plan exercise will be conducted exactly the way the contingency plan describes it will be. So, and configuration management is done in the way that the plan describes it. So the key here is you got to do it the way you wrote it. You got to do it the way you wrote it, because that's how we will inspect you. If you wrote it and said you're doing it this way, then we need to see you do it that way. Physical security. We're going to inspect physical security, and that could be locks and alarms, HVAC, fire suppression, power, backups, temperature, humidity controls and alarms. We're going to inspect all that stuff. So obviously, a huge piece of this is the logical security aspects of it, the encryption, the compliance of the database, the operating system, and the virtualization software. But you can't overlook the physical security, the people, and the processes. So obviously, a huge piece of this is the logical security. We're going to come in, we're going to do a platform scan. Our company uses the Nessus Vulnerability Scanner. So we're going to scan for compliance against a set of benchmarks. So let's say you're a customer, you have a customer in mind, you're going to do a DoD customer. We're going to use the STIG benchmarks. If you're doing something with Treasury, we might be using the PCI benchmark, the payment card industry benchmarks. Or if you're just getting accredited and you're going to chase business later, we'll use the NIST 800 benchmarks. So that's for compliance. That's compliance with the regulation. Then the other part of scanning is for vulnerabilities. Vulnerabilities, which is if you're running a Microsoft operating system or an Apache web server, it's the vulnerabilities known with those systems and those applications. We're also going to run an application code scan if you're providing software as a service. So the application code scan scanning tool that we use is Fortify, and that looks for best coding practices like dead code and things like that. And obviously, we'll give you the results of that. We will come in and do a penetration test. A penetration test is required by FedRAMP. So our penetration tester uses the Kali Linux suite of tools, and that will be part of it also. And then obviously configuration best practices, and we'll look at your configuration, because your configuration should look exactly the same as your SSP. There shouldn't be any more virtual systems in there than what's in the SSP. There shouldn't be any more switches or routers or anything. The configuration should be as your SSP says it is. And I know, and that's always a point of contention, because systems get spun up and spun down, especially in development and test environments. Systems get spun up and spun down. But we would expect to see the configuration when we initially plug in the scanner, and we do a discovery scan to see exactly what's on the network. It should mirror the configuration in the system security plan. Another huge thing is processes. Even a completely locked down secure system that's 100% patched and up to date can be undermined by poor processes. Anyone with elevated privileges, like a database administrator, not doing something correctly and causing a problem. So some of the examples of the processes are user access. How do you give user accounts? Do you conform to the idea of least privilege? How do you give elevated privilege accounts? Do you vet your system administrators, your database administrators? Do you limit their ability to do things? Does the network administrator only have privileges to do certain things? Does the database administrator only have elevated privileges on the database? Things like that. So user access is one example. Also, after you get accredited, you're going to have to continue to scan your system for vulnerabilities. That's a government requirement. We're going to have to watch your scanner run the scan, whatever tool they use. And if you don't use Nessus, we'll try and use the similar tool that you use when you do your periodic scanning of your own system. but we have to see and then report on your own security staff knowing how to run a scan and knowing how to load up the scanner and scan your whole system and hit every target that's out there, and knowing how to scan operating systems, database, web servers, routers, switches, firewalls, basically knowing what they're doing, okay? And that has to be reported in the report. Also, there's auditing. Systems have to be audited for anomalies and for malicious behavior, and we have to observe the automated system you have for auditing. I would assume that everybody would have an automated system. We will actually look at the audits after we do the scan and the pen test to make sure that those activities, which are malicious, you know, the system recognizes those as malicious, shows up in the audit, and the process is such that somebody gets notified about it. It's not good enough that the system recognizes malicious activity. Somebody has to get notified. Somebody has to take action. The security response, the security response, there's obviously an automated response, but the security, there's a human element to the security response that is that's critical. I want to say that I don't know if it was Home Depot, but they saw the intrusion, and the intrusion detection team called, and the people who took the call didn't know what to do. I think it was Home Depot. Bob knows. Bob's not here right now. So, was it Home Depot?
No, it was.
Yeah.
They saw it. They didn't know what to do with it.
Yeah, the intrusion detection team, they saw it, and they called, and
they tried to put it completely off. They called management, and they didn't know anything.
Because they hadn't gone through it. They hadn't done an incident response exercise. The first time the first time that something bad happens, the first time you go through the process shouldn't be when something bad happens. You know, I was in the Marine Corps, and they would always say, train, 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 practice, practice, practice. The first time you experience a malfunction with your weapon shouldn't be while you're getting shot at. You should have done that 10,000 times already, and you do your immediate action procedures without even thinking about it before you realize you're back up and firing. So it's that sort of mindset. You should already have your human processes and your human responses practiced and well rehearsed, because too often that's the weak point in the system. So in regards to processes, there's physical security processes also. Physical security processes are making sure that your uncleared visitors are escorted, things like that, and there's a log. So say you have your hardware maintenance reps, say you're using Dell equipment or HP equipment, and there's a hardware failure and you have people come in and do maintenance on your system. Well, they're not authorized to be working on your server without being escorted, without their activity being observed. Are they being logged in? Are they being escorted? Things like that. So physical security processes. And then we're gonna watch you conduct your exercises. We're gonna watch you conduct a contingency plan exercise for how you fail over. Now in a virtual cloud environment, that's really pretty simple. The system, the load balancing software, usually does that. And if it's such a catastrophic, terrible thing, usually probably that part of the country is gone, because most cloud service providers have it in several locations. But we got to go through a contingency plan exercise and then an incident response exercise. And usually the incident responses are revolving around malicious activity, attacks or malware, or an internal threat, a user who either makes an honest mistake and causes a problem, or who does something malicious. And I think we all know that the internal threat is very, very real. Okay, also in regards to processes, we're going to check awareness and training. User awareness, security awareness of the user to include the elevated privileged users, so that the system administrator, network administrator, database administrator go through security awareness training. I know that they are completely focused on productivity, keeping the system up and running. But there's a government requirement that they have a base level of security knowledge, so that when they go about their business, they do things securely. And then what type of security training is initially required of your people, especially with elevated privileges, and then what type of annual training that you're conducting. So who are the providers out there? So the FedRAMP website lists who the current cloud service providers are. There's not that many. And what I want you to take away from that is that there's not a lot of people that have made it into the market yet. I think that the market is very young, and whoever is an early entrant into the market will stand to do very well. That's what we thought. That's why we got into the third-party assessing business. There's not that many third-party assessing organizations out there, and there's not that many cloud service providers out there. So we think it's a great business opportunity. I'll show you on the FedRAMP website how many cloud service providers are currently out there. And you'll see that, let's see here, that certainly the market is not saturated. Let me see here. Compliant, huh?
The usual characters.
Well, yeah. Oh, geez, come on here. Yeah, there we go. So those, here are the people that are currently accredited to provide cloud service. So you can see there's not too many of them. There are not too many of them. So we think that there's certainly room in the market. If you want to go look and see see how many third-party assessing organizations are out there, got to go look on the website yourself. I'm not going to show you the list of all our competitors. The only one you really have to remember is Paragon Security Services. We're a division of Paragon Technology Group. We're a very small company. We are located in Southern Illinois, right outside of Scott Air Force Base, because primarily what we do is provide DoD computing security support and program management support to U.S. Transportation Command. We have some other parts of the business in other parts of the country, but we thought we would create a separate autonomous division that's independent from Paragon Technology to do this work, because we think that this market is going to grow exponentially. So that kind of wraps up my overview. This is not necessarily such an interactive workshop, because I'm not going to sit here and say, okay, go ahead and apply now, the FedRAMP. But now if you have questions, I'd be happy to answer your questions.
Do you want to go back to the slide deck so I can...
Sure. Let's see here. Okay, hold on here. All right, so I need to process is right there, that one.
So you were getting into the realm of integration management, auditing, and how was it going to catch up just because it's kind of not much. Are you getting into the realm of gold standards, having automated systems to validate your integration management, which would be gold standards for locking configurations down for systems?
That is absolutely true. Those were just examples that I was giving you. And the FedRAMP office also is aware of that. But I guess I use that as an example of the level of detail that's required. But certainly in this environment where you certainly your livelihood is based on scalability. And,
so would you define that? Is that what you would say is in our capacity?
What I want to say is, yes, that's what we would do, but it's not so regimented that it would be done exactly that way. The FedRAMP office is flexible enough to take their explanation of how they would do that. The explanation you just gave me would be possibly one explanation. They say, we would have to do it this way. But the short answer is yes. The short answer is yes. And they're even more flexible than even doing that. If it's reasonable, the cloud service provider says, this is our business model, and this is what we do, and beyond capacity, beyond increasing capacity and doing scalability, we actually enhance things and add other applications when we get to a certain point. They've said that they're very flexible about that.
What about the device configurations? Are you using that non-standard? Basically.
Right. And as the larger your system is, the more complex it is. They briefly touched on this when we went through the training. They said they have an understanding. Once you get so complex and so large, they're less concerned about the number, but that the security practices are consistently applied. So I have not worked on a system the size of something that you're talking about. I've only heard them talk about it, but they don't seem unreasonable. They don't. And clearly, they've already accredited some large systems. So they have an understanding of what large cloud service providers are facing in regards to size, if that answers your question.
God, I think that was in detail.
Yeah, it is. It is. And so because you can't talk about every possible scenario, I just wanted to say that yes, the answer to your question is yes, and even more, because you're talking about increasing the footprint, but even if you have to add other applications that are not even in your plan, that aren't listed, they're not so regimented that they would balk
at. There's a lot of automated testing report generation tools out there. There aren't so many of those statements configuration management.
In regards to using tools like that, there are tools that they do want you to use in regards to IA enabled tools, things that that get elevated access. Like when we use a Nessus tool, you know, it needs administrative rights to do the scan. They are concerned about different tools that are open source that have elevated privileges on your system. So there is going to be some back and forth and discussion on that. Hopefully that answers your question, or at least somewhat answers your question. Well, there's two ways to do it. You can either go out and apply on your own, or if, like I said, you're working with a company or you're working with an agency that you're already wanting to provide cloud service for, they will work with you to get you accredited. But right now, from what I understand, to do business with the federal government, the FedRAMP accreditation is required. It's a requirement.
So, one, two, three, and other things that you would share with prospective clients to instill that trust. How much does it cost over and above all those things to become accredited?
Well, I can't talk about cost with you, but I can talk about time frames. So the FedRAMP Program Management Office expects a CSP to take about 6 months to go through the system. And so it's the initial staff work to provide that documentation, to collect the information, provide the documentation, to implement the security controls. So it's a function of how big your system is. How much work is it going to take to implement all that security and then document it? And then how long is it going to take the 3PAO to assess the system? And that's really kind of depends on how big your system is. So I don't know that I can really talk about cost. 6 months is kind of what they anticipate, a very small say a very small storage provider might take 4 months, but a much larger system could take 9 months. You got some guys here that have already gone through it. You may ask them. You might ask Walt Whitecotton from Amazon and say, how long did it take you? Because those guys went through it. Now, there's going to be some differences because they went through it during the initial infancy of the program, and I think it took them a lot longer because the government was trying to do it themselves. And then they decided that this is too much for them to do, and they said, we're going to outsource this, and we're going to start this program where we accredit 3 PAOs to do this for us. It took us, it took 18 months from start to finish, but the hardcore processes, it took us a year to get accredited. The FedRAMP PMO made us get accredited by A2LA before they would even look at us. A2LA is the American Association for Laboratory Accreditation. They had to come out and accredit us as an inspection body. So we had to do all that work, and that took about 10 months to get there. And then there was some back and forth with their recommendation to the FedRAMP board. And then it took about 2 months for the FedRAMP board to evaluate their accreditation. So I suspect that for 3 PAOs now, it wouldn't take as long. And I know we're talking apples and oranges here, but I'm just saying it took us over a year to become a third-party assessor. And probably it took some of the cloud service providers over a year to get accredited, and they probably had to spend a lot of money. But the process is becoming more mature. So the guidance from the federal government is to move federal systems into the cloud. They created this FedRAMP program and put together a program management office to facilitate just this process. So you got a group of people sitting up in the GSA building in DC, and their job is to make this process happen. And they're getting better at it. They're getting faster at it. I hope they get some more staff, because they don't have a lot of staff, but they right now, they're saying they would expect if a cloud service provider is fairly well prepared, that it'll take them 6 months. So you just have to equate that cost to your organization and how many members of your staff you're going to have to dedicate to lock down the system, implement the controls, and then write these very lengthy documents.
And you also mentioned something about the contingency planning exercise.
Yeah.
Audit that process.
Yep, we sit down and we watch you guys run a contingency exercise.
Now, contingencies were what? Basic failure disaster recovery testing happens if the provider has a sudden cessation of business or they go bankrupt. And now the contingency needs to be subscribed, right? The federal government now needs a contingency. They need to be able to execute independently of the provider. Is that referenced anywhere?
That's,
I didn't see it anywhere in this document.
That's beyond the scope of our assessment. We're just assessing how your organization deals with an earthquake, flood, power outage, those sorts of things. And usually cloud service providers kind of are in the business of doing that already. So I'm thinking that's not going to be too hard. But we do have to assess a contingency exercise just to see that you have plans for these type of events, man-made or natural, and how you address it. Usually, like my experience with some cloud service providers, they have load balancing software that's located in several different locations. There's no single point of failure, so even if you have an earthquake or a fire or a power outage or whatever, or a terrorist attack, it just fails over automatically and the users don't even know.
What happens if they run out of money?
Well,
that's
actually, I would say, that's beyond the scope of our inspection to you. That's because you could say the same thing. What if the government canceled the contract? What if the government says we're out of funds and we can't continue the contract? Same sort of thing. That is not a contingency that we're going to inspect you on. That's not part of the security contingency planning process. So that's beyond the scope. That is a business contingency that we're not going to be inspecting for. We're just going to inspect your response to natural man-made disasters and then malicious attacks. If that answers your question.
Yeah. Thanks.
Sir.
Yeah. If you have, let's say.
So what service are you talking about providing in this scenario?
Cloud services.
Cloud infrastructure where somebody puts, so you have a physical location, you gotta have several physical locations, you gotta have at least two physical locations. So you got physical locations that are under your control and you're gonna provide infrastructure? Or are you talking about providing software as a service and your software is gonna sit on an accredited infrastructure like with AT&T or Amazon?
Maybe, let's say both scenarios.
Okay, well if it's your own facilities, just because you partner with someone that's accredited, you're not accredited. Your facility has to be accredited. Your facilities, because obviously you have more than one facility, because you have to be able to continue operations if one's facility is down. So the answer is, if you're looking at infrastructure platform as a service where you're providing a place for someone's application to reside, then no, it's your facility that has to be accredited. It's your facility, your infrastructure that has to be accredited. Now, the second scenario is you're providing a software tool, suite of tools. And you're gonna put that software suite of tools, it's gotta live somewhere. Well, it's already living in an environment that's accredited by FedRAMP. Okay, so the way it works is, you will still have to be evaluated, you'll have to be assessed, but in your system security plan, many of those security controls will be inherited from your environment. All the physical and environmental controls, all the enclave boundary defense controls, all that stuff will be inherited, and what we will inspect you on is your code, how well it's written, your processes, and your people. In regard to what roles they play. Do they maintain the system as it sits in the infrastructure? Are they patching the OS? Are they patching the database? Is that their duties? And so then we would assess, do they know how to do it? How well do they do it? So you'll have to be evaluated, but if you're living in an accredited environment, you inherit many things. So even though you got that 416-page template that you have to fill out and list all of services or the security controls, much of it you'll just be writing that you inherit from your enclave that you're sitting in. And so part of the inspection process that we'll do is we'll look at that and say, okay, they say this is inherited, and then we'll look at the service level agreement or a memorandum of understanding that you have with the place that you live in. Let's say it's Amazon Go Cloud. And we'll verify that in your plan you say that you inherit this procedure, and we'll check to make sure that they are in fact giving that to you in their service level agreement. So that's how that situation would go, if that answered your question. I believe I am out of time. I really appreciate you coming and listening to me talk about this stuff. I think it's a great business opportunity. I think there's billions of dollars out there. I'm going to hand off to the next presenter.